Hello, listeners, and welcome to the inaugural episode of The Party Podcast. The Party Podcast is more than just a podcast. It's a platform where academia meets real-world narratives, where rigid policy frameworks are juxtaposed against human experience. Here, we don't just dissect global issues. We humanize them, we narrate them, and we invite you to join us in reimagining a world where policy is not just about governance, but about understanding and nurturing the human spirit that drives the essence of global interactions. We are a podcast founded within the Boston University Party School of Global Affairs community. Feel free to explore the Party Atlas page to check out other graduate student content at Boston University. I'm your co-host, Carl Wright. So a bit about me. I'm a second-year international relations master's student with a concentration in security studies. What brings me to Boston University? Well, like many students, I'm driven by the stories that weave the fabric of our global community. For me, it's not just about knowing the players and the events. It's about understanding the heartbeats and the mechanics behind them. You know, when a lot of people skim through the headlines, they might see turmoil or tension and think, oh, our system has to be broken. There has to be a better way. But here's my take. Just because something looks messy doesn't mean it isn't working in its own unique way. Our world, with its unexpected alliances and rivalries, is like a vast puzzle where simply fitting pieces together is not enough. You have to dive deep. It's about stepping into other people's shoes and understanding their hopes, their dreams, their fears. And that's precisely why I decided to study international relations here at Boston University. I'm driven by the idea that by truly grasping the reasons behind global issues, we can uncover solutions. I see each challenge as a golden opportunity to negotiate, connect, and create. So join me each month as we untangle this global tapestry, discussing everything from crises to collaborations. Let's learn, let's challenge our perspectives, and together, let's take on the world's complexities, turning them into gateways for a brighter future. In our first episode, we dive into youth movements. Everyone can relate to the feeling of being a hopeless teenager, where it feels like things are happening around you, but you have no say in what's going on or what you can do to shape the future. But globally, the narrative is clear. The youth are not just the leaders of tomorrow, but of today. They bring a unique blend of idealism and energy and a fresh perspective that challenges the status quo and pushes for meaningful change. Our guest today, Rabin Najmuddin, is a living testament to this youthful spirit of change, spearheading initiatives across continents. As the brains behind Club Al-Bak, Iraq, Rabin has paved a way for dialogues and fresh idea exchanges between Iraqi and global youth, reflecting the essence of the revered European forum Al-Bak. His journey doesn't stop there. As the founder and project manager of KYLP Forum, he's taken strides in nurturing young leaders, exploring avenues in public policy, gender equality, and peace dialogues right in Iraq's heartland. Rabin's footprint goes beyond Iraqi soil with a chapter of his journey at the European Forum Al-Bak in Austria and his key role at the Korean organization dedicated to youth leadership in Kurdistan. Today's conversation isn't just about modern youth-led revolutions, but a deeper dive into a long-standing relay between youthful innovation and politics. I should also mention, he's a good friend and classmate in the MIA program at the Party School. Now, let's welcome Rabin.
Hi, Rabin. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Thank you. It's good to be here. Good morning to you. Well, good afternoon, technically.
Good afternoon to you, too. So, could you tell us a little bit more about yourself, a little bit more about your experiences before coming to BU, and what brought you here?
What brought me here and what got me into international relations? Good questions. So I think one of the factors that pushed me into getting so engaged in youth movements or like international relations is that feeling of being left behind. You know, like where there are lack of opportunities, where there is lack of access, when you know that you have the potential, right? When you know that you can make changes, when you know that, and also like you experience the world around you, it's just not the world that you want to have, right? It's not the world that you want to experience, and also not the world that you want to experience, that you want to grow up in, right? So I think it is that feeling of like unutilized potential, right? That pushed me like to work in to get into civil society, into youth engagement, to create opportunities, not only for myself but also like for hundreds more young people around me. So I work here like on small scale, regional, cities, town organizations. But as I grew up scaling more like into regional work and international relations work, I learned that it's not only me. There is not only one Revin, there is like thousands of millions of young people all around the world that are stuck in some part of the world, be it in any part of the world, no matter how developed or undeveloped the country is. There's always people and generations, especially younger generation, that are being left behind with lack of access, with lack of opportunities, you know, just a pinch of training, right? Just to make them, you know, an expert or like something in some field, just a pinch of light, right? So sometimes, like most of the times, the younger generation, they have the thing that it takes, they have the raw material, it just needs one sparkle, you know, to push forward, to move. So I think that's what got me into international relations today, and like to work in civil society and youth engagement, is seeing the power that we have and the change that we can do once we're giving the platform. So we are fighting for our platform. Yeah.
Thank you for that incredible answer. I completely agree. You know, for me, I think that youth movements are, you know, collective action driven by young individuals who, you know, share a united vision or kind of a purpose. Mm. Doesn't matter in which part of the world they're in, but they share this drive. And I feel as though
That's
they're
correct.
Often characterized by, you know, having a ton of energy and passion and determination to shape a better world. And I think that's something that you definitely have just in our initial interactions. So how would you define youth movements, and what youth movements have you been a part of?
Yeah, so I think how I would define youth movements, you know, some people define us as troublemakers, problem makers. That is what we are for some countries and some people. But for some others, youth movements and youth organizations are change makers, right? They are the ones who bring a new perspective, who bring in new blood, bring in new energy. So yeah, I think for youth movements and youth organizations, it is just, I will just build on the definition that you already, you know, already put in there. That is a group of people that are working towards a shared vision, a shared value that they have. And usually, from my experience, in most cases, it is social justice, right? Usually, the shared purpose that most of the youth organizations work around is just like fighting for more social justice, better economy for people. But I think, like from my understanding, it's usually this, you know, shared values, shared purpose that a group of people are experiencing together, and they come together and they want to fight for this. And I have to say that I'm a firm believer in this. I'm a firm believer in the power of grassroots organizations. I'm a firm believer in the power of bottom-up solutions. And I've on first hand experienced this, you know, in Iraq, in Turkey, in Lebanon, in Europe. I've experienced the power, the level of change and scale of change this group of young people coming together with very, very limited resources, what change they can do once they come together as a youth movement, and then work on a project of them, work on a cause that they're passionate about. I think this is what youth movement is, right? Grassroots troublemakers sometimes, sometimes change makers. We remove governments, we bring in new governments, we create new values, we remove values. That's what we do. But we are guided by a shared purpose. We are guided by the idea that we want a better world. We want a better world for ourselves and for the children tomorrow. Right.
It's clear that you're very, very passionate about your involvement in youth movements, and you know, you're a firm believer in the change that they can bring. And it's really inspiring, I think, as a lot of people start to lose hope in the global system and the global order, to hear that, you know, we have future practitioners of international relations being so passionate and firm believers in causes. So can you expand a little bit more on what specific youth movements you've been a part of and what issues they were focused on?
Yeah, I'm going to answer your the second part of your question first, because that defines like the courses that I care about and which type of courses I've joined, you know, I've joined to share a hand with. So the type of courses that I've cared about, the type of issues is usually more with opportunities, like no access, because I've had that challenge firsthand. I've experienced that trouble firsthand, the lack of access to the world outside of you, lack of access to a proper training, to a proper education, to work, you know, to financial assistance. And second issue that I've cared that I very much care about, you know, in this field is platforms for exchange, platforms for connecting people, right? You know, people to people communication, people to people exchange. So these are the two major issues and causes that I have worked with throughout my experience in youth engagements and youth movements all around the world. I have worked extensively because I come from the Kurdistan region of Iraq. Of course, I have worked extensively in Kurdistan region and also in Iraq. I have worked, for example, with Caliph organization, where we were annually doing this conference, and also but also like throughout the year different trainings. We would bring in different people all around Iraq together. For trainings, for camping with like in partnership with different organizations, different NGOs, because you know the country is very very much divided into different religious groups, different nations and ethnic backgrounds. So this was one of the issues that I was really like caring about, you know, to bring in people together, because that's when real exchange happens. That's when that's when you build mutual understanding, because these are the present generation and the future, you know, the future leaders of the country. Yeah. And also I have worked in Europe with the European Forum, ALPAC Foundation, also surprisingly another organization that works to bring people together. So I guess that is what I do mostly, bringing people together. FI organization is also another organization that works in Europe. I used to work with them like for some years, and I still do. We've built a chapter of the organization in Iraq, where we try to annually try to fund scholarships, try to provide scholarships for a number of young professional people in Iraq to go participate in this forum in ALPAC in Europe. And also, I've also worked with the Swedish Institute that was in Sweden, where we have designed it and worked on specific campaigns for youth movements, specifically around gender empowerment and education in the South Asia region and the Middle East region. Yeah, these are mostly the organizations that I've worked with, I guess.
For such a young man, it seems like you've been able to accomplish quite a lot. So how have you used your roles within these movements as a way to promote engagement among young people?
Yeah, so I think that is what I am doing. That is what I'm fighting for, you know, bringing people together, trying to create opportunities and platforms for more young people to come together all around the world, be it on a regional level, be it on a country level or a national level. That is what I'm fighting for, I guess, trying to facilitate the way for more young people, you know, to come together, to find each other, to build together, try to, you know, create an environment for more networking to happen, right?
I think you bring up a really good point, and a crucial aspect of nurturing youth engagement is inclusive leadership and fostering an environment where ideas are valued and individuals' contributions are recognized. So do the young people that you work with in these movements, you mentioned gender equality and providing more academic opportunity, are there specific changes they want to see in international relations in the global environment?
Well, I guess different youth movements in different parts of the world, they have different struggles that they are fighting for. You can ask youth movements in India or in Myanmar or young people that are still stuck in refugee camps, be it in the Middle East or in Asia or in other parts of the world or in Europe. They all have different struggles that they're fighting for. But it's mostly circulates around, you know, education empowerment, you know, more education for more people. Because what we take for granted, the good quality of education that we have right now, not everyone has that access to that quality of education. Usually, from what I have worked in, usually the type of classrooms I've experienced, there is usually like 60 people cramped into one small room doing two classes per week or three classes per week, right? So for most, education is something that they're actually fighting for. But social justice also. Like, people want more freedom. People want to see more social justice all around them, be it for gender equality, be it for political freedom, be it for the right of free speech. So social justice is a major issue that most organizations all around the world, especially youth organizations, are working for. And adding to that, I think it's also like political participation and better economy. These are like more issues, man. But more than that, they want more than, you know, seeing these changes in these specific fields. Younger generation, they want a seat on the table. They want to be present in international relations. They don't want the present, you know, as you said, adult establishment to make the decisions for them, because there is a wider, if you make a comparison, there is a wider gap between the present generation, our generation, and the generation coming before us, the millennial, if you compare it, then the millennials and the generations before them. And this is mainly, and this gap is mainly widened by the impact of technology and the other advancements, right? So the younger generation have the different values. They see the world differently, and they want to have a different world than the world that we are present in. So they do want to address the changes, the causes and the struggles result, but they also want to sit on the table because they want to be the ones shaping the future and molding the future, because finally they are the leaders of tomorrow, right?
So now let's turn to focus a little bit more on the field of international relations itself. Do you feel that the current field of international relations does enough to promote youth engagement? I think we often forget that over the last century, youth-led revolutions have brought about significant political transformations, leading to the overthrow of dictators and the dismantling of communist regimes and instigating a variety of social change around the world. So do you think that the current study of international relations or the various international bodies do enough to promote and recognize youth engagement as being critical to transforming our world?
I see your point, Carl. I think what I can say is that what we see today, what we experience today in terms of recognition of youth movements and youth organizations and their potential is definitely better than in the past, right? There is more recognition, there is more opportunities for the younger generation to involve, and, you know, being recognized by governments and also like academic institutions. But I wouldn't say it is enough. No, I would say it is better than the past, but it is not enough. You know, usually what I see, like, even if you look at data there, you can see that for every one youth movement organization, or for every one youth advocate, there are like, for every one of us, there's like millions of others left behind, you know, that are still fighting to live from day to day. There are still fighting to get access to education, to work, to financial stability, to some trainings, right? So I don't think it's enough. And also, in terms of recognizing the power of youth movements, of youth organizations, I think it from what I see, it is still a top-down approach, right? Recognizing these youth movements and organizations. It's mainly being shaped by interest. You know, for example, if we look several years back at the Arab Spring was like, the youth organizations and youth movement, those were the ones that were propelling the revolutions in all these countries. Those were the engines of change. And every country all around the world, they were recognizing the voice of the young people there. They were recognizing the voice of these movements, organizations, you know, streaming funds there. But that was also shaped, like, you know, more or less by interest, right? But there are also like so many other youth movements and organizations all around the world that are not being recognized, right? Look at the youth organizations in Myanmar. Look at the youth organizations at Iran that are fighting for freedom, but are not supported or recognized, right? So I think it's still a top-down approach in terms of like recognizing the power of young people, and also shaped by interest, like state interest, right? So if there is state interest, definitely the youth movements organizations are recognized. But if there is no state interest, then they have to fight their way up. They have to fight for their way up, right? So I think for the rest of us working in IR, it's really important that we would be able to, you know, to persevere forward, to continue the work that we're doing, despite the challenges and the obstacles that we face for the work that we do. It's really important that we proceed forward. We would be able to propel, because the fight that we do, the work that we do, is also going to be the work that's preparing the ground for more young people to follow the lead, to follow the way, and open the way for more young people to come in.
Thank you so much, Rebin, for sharing your valuable insights and experiences with us today. It's been truly a very thought-provoking discussion, especially on the importance of youth movements and international relations and how they contribute to a human perspective. So as we wrap up, is there anything that you would like to say to our listeners?
Yeah, I think thank you very much for this podcast and the interview. It was really nice to talk with you today about this, and it is really interesting to actually speak with people and to actually know that there is a project that cares about the human side of politics, the human side of youth movements and youth organizations and IR, because usually this just takes to be taken for granted, and usually there's only one story that's all one narrative that is always told, and the individual stories and the human side of IR and politics is usually lost. So yeah, I think thank you so much for today, and good luck with your podcast.
Thank you.